You're listening to Simply Grace, a collection of meaningful thoughts, ideas, and interpretations of the gospel we hope you will find inspiring and thought-provoking. Delivered from the foothills of the beautiful San Gabriel Mountains, Grace Lutheran Church in Upland, California, has been serving the community of faithful for more than 50 years and is headed by the Reverend Wesley Mankey. For more information, or if you would like to make a donation, please visit graceupland.org. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Simply Grace.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him, because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits. But the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Good morning. Let us pray. Holy God, we thank you that you love us so much, even when we fall short and want to make shortcuts, even when we might be tempted to take in a way that enriches ourselves but doesn't help other people. Thievery. We thank you that you forgive us, and you call us to be gracious and giving and caring to our neighbors. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning. Jesus said in this passage that we read this morning, "Truly, he who does not enter the fold by the door, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber." The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It appears that Jesus' words for considering who is a thief is pretty all-inclusive. Of course, from a simple definition, we can understand what it means to be a thief. It's somebody that takes something that's not theirs. But Jesus opens up the definition a little bit in a way that should grab your attention and invite you into some self-reflection. Jesus says that a thief is anyone who doesn't follow the proper policies and procedures. He's using the analogy of a sheep pen, a shepherd, a gate, and the walls around it. And he says, anyone that climbs into the sheep pen some other way, through back channels, as it were, taking a shortcut, leaning a ladder up against the wall of the pen and hopping over rather than going through the gate, anybody that does that is a thief. Good thing that doesn't apply to any of us, right? You've never been tempted to take a shortcut, to not follow the procedure because it was more expedient not to do so. Well, in case you think this doesn't apply to you, as you read on in the gospel, Jesus says very plainly, everybody who comes before me has come as a thief. Those words should give you pause and cause you to think a bit about it, as it did to our Bible study group this past Thursday. Who exactly is Jesus talking about in this passage? Surely he couldn't be talking about us. He's talking about those other people, right? The baddies, the ones who are thieves. You know who I'm talking about. Not us good people, right? No, of course not. Who's Jesus talking about? Well, he's talking about people. Anyone who's a thief, as I mentioned, according to Jesus' definition, is anyone who tries to enrich themselves, to better themselves at the expense of others. I took a course at California Lutheran University in Thousand Oaks. Woohoo, go Regals, go Kings, Kingsmen. I took a course there called Executive Skills for Pastors. And I've been a couple times, fabulous education, combining theology and business, a useful thing for any leader, especially leaders in the church. And one of our professors was a professor of entrepreneurship. And at the beginning of his time with us, he said, he drew a quadrant on the board and he said, this is what you need to know about being an entrepreneur. He said, there's four kinds of people in the world. As an entrepreneur, which is what he argued, I want you as pastors to think of yourselves as entrepreneurs. Your goal in life is to enrich yourself and the world around you. That was his definition of an entrepreneur. They want to make their life better, and they want to make the lives better of people all around them. Add value. Then he contrasted three other ways of being. He said, that's the entrepreneur. Then there's the stupid way to be. He said, the stupid way to be is to make your life worse and to make people around you lives worse. He said, that's just dumb. And when you do that, you usually go to jail. Then there's two others. The entrepreneur, there's being stupid. Then there's the martyrs and the thieves. Martyrs, as you can imagine, are people who never think about themselves, who let people walk all over them. They're always thinking about other people. And he said, I know this might be a tough one for the church crowd. He said, but the deal is, when you think about sustainability, if you are always thinking other people's lives better and you never take care of yourself, you won't last. And in business, you see this all the time. They just go away. And if you don't last, then you can't make other people's lives better either. And then finally, he talked about the thieves, what Jesus is talking about this morning. Thieves, and there are thieves in business. There's thieves in every corner of the world. And in this passage today, Jesus has us take a hard look in the mirror and make sure that we are aware of ourselves. Thieves, of course, want to enrich themselves, and they don't care anything about people all around them. So, thinking about our world today, does this apply to us? Well, consider who thieves might be, and if you fit into any of these categories. And I know none of us do. It's those other people. Those other people who we know like to mooch off the system. People that like to take the free handouts. And maybe they're a little bit too comfortable with, staying at home all the time. Hey, why don't I just do this forever? I think some people on the news call it the eternal stay-at-homers. And with that group of bad people, quote unquote, there are leaders who frustrate us, that who quickly and too easily want to take away our freedoms and cover it over by giving, free handouts. And that angers us. And we can see people who want to take advantage of a vulnerable time to enrich themselves. We hear stories of these and it makes us angry. We see leaders do it and it makes us angry. And then there's other groups of people too. If you don't see yourself in that group, what about the exact opposite? What about those who feel called? They want to exercise their personal freedoms. They want to go out and interact. They want to congregate and experience their freedom and not have anyone take it away from them in work. But of course, the criticism there is during a time of pandemic, by doing so, you can put people's lives at risk. And leaders who push too quickly, too fastly, are criticized for wanting to enrich at the expense of people's lives. As I think about these two options and these two criticisms, I think, what a terrible choice. What a terrible choice to have to make between being a stay-at-home, mooching off the system kind of person, or going out and endangering the lives of other people kind of person. Terrible options. We don't want either one, deep down. It reminds me of a person that we like to talk about in the Lutheran Church. This guy who lived about 500 years ago, his name was Martin Luther. Now, Martin Luther faced a similar kind of conundrum. 500 years ago, as we think about what the world was like 500 years ago and the diseases that would ravage through Europe and the world, the situation we're living in today reminds us of history 100 years ago, 500 years ago. Now, Luther faced a similar conundrum. Luther was from an upwardly mobile, you know, you couldn't really say middle-class family, but if there was such a thing, they were kind of that, and they were breaking into the upper echelons of society. His father had been successful, Martin Luther's father, and he had created for Luther an opportunity to get educated in law, to become a person of status in the world, and to have economic security. But there was a problem, and there was a cost. At the same time, in those days, the church that Luther experienced and knew said that you would most likely go to purgatory or to hell if you did not dedicate every minute, every hour of your life of trying to live righteous and holy. And so Luther had an impossible choice to make. Would he pursue economic security and upward mobility at the cost of his eternal soul? Or would he give all that up and join a monastery and pursue a life of righteousness, suffer during this life, but ensure his eternal salvation? So what did he choose? You know your history. He became a monastic. Martin Luther became an Augustinian monk. And he worked so hard to try to earn God's favor. He poured his heart and soul into it, confessing his sins, studying, scrubbing the floor, going to his confessor. And the deeper and more involved Luther got into living a righteous life, the deeper down he went into depression. It was like a vice crimping down on his soul. He felt crushed. He didn't feel like he was getting any closer to salvation. He felt worse and worse and worse. The one thing that Luther had going for him is that he did demonstrate some academic ability. So even though he was relatively miserable as a monk, he did enjoy studying and reading. And because of the scholastic movement during that time, he had the opportunity to further his education, to get a doctorate. And he was schooled in the ancient languages of the Bible, of Koine Greek for the New Testament. And he learned Hebrew in the Old Testament, and he began to be able to read the Bible as it was originally written, or as close to it as is possible. And there was a lot of stuff in the Bible that troubled Luther, a lot of readings of an angry God who wanted to judge. But then, eventually, Luther discovered some things in the Bible that for some reason had never connected with him before. He read passages in the Bible that talked about the grace of God. And there was a key phrase that stuck out to Luther. And that phrase was this: the righteous shall live by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. Such a simple phrase and simple words. And could it even be true? The righteous, those who stand in God's favor, live by faith? Faith? That's it? Simply believing, trusting, hoping in God's goodness? Could it be that simple? Faith, saved by grace through faith? It is true. And Luther grabbed onto that truth, and it changed his life. All of a sudden, the chains of righteousness and trying to be a holy person that were crushing his soul were finally broken, and he was given freedom and understanding that he is saved by God, not by anything that he does, but simply by God's grace. And if he wanted something to do, if you want something to do, the one thing you can do is to believe, to have faith, to trust that God is that good. And by the way, even your faith is a gift from God. So it's not a work. It's not as if you have to do it. No, it's that it's done for you, and you get to believe it. And so think about how that resolves the tension with which we began the sermon. Feeling kind of torn in two different directions. One direction of trying to be righteous and holier than thou and feeling miserable. The other direction of trying to express your personal freedoms and the risk of endangering other people's lives. When you're given this impossible choice, when we turn to faith, we see that there is another option. And that option, friends, is that it's not about us. Our work isn't going to save us. It never has, and it never will. Our freedom is a freedom that is deeper and greater than any schema, any direction that any person on high, hands down, comes underneath God. Jesus says, anyone who comes before me ain't gonna cut it. And that's not just history, that's for all time. Anyone that tries to come before God isn't gonna cut it. Only God can give us freedom, and God gives us freedom. We are free in Christ. We are saved in Christ by grace. Nothing can take that away from us. Do you like enchiladas? I like enchiladas. I like red enchiladas. I like green enchiladas. I like cheese, chicken. I don't think I've ever had an enchilada I didn't like, but I can tell you about the best enchiladas I've ever had in my life. I was in Mexico with my girlfriend, who would become my wife, Sherry. And we went to a Mexican food restaurant in the town of Tecate on the California-Mexican border. We had gone into Tecate to visit an orphanage. We were both youth ministers at the time, and we were doing some scouting for for a mission trip we could go on. And afterwards, we went into Centro, the downtown area of Tecate, and went to a Mexican food restaurant that had been recommended. As we sat there at this table eating these enchiladas, we had just seen poverty. We had just seen orphans and spent time with them. And now we were sitting at this beautiful table with a tablecloth and silverware with a waiter serving us. And I need to tell you, I had the best enchiladas I've ever had in my life, hands down. I will never forget. And if you've never had the opportunity to dine in Mexico, and as I understand it, other places in the world too, it's quite a different experience than how we do restaurants here in the United States. Okay, first of all, we don't do anything the same anymore right now. Remember the days when we used to go to restaurants? Well, what I'm trying to say is the service was unbelievable, right? I feel like when we go to a restaurant today, if you want something or you need something, you kind of have to. You have to be assertive, right? You got to flag them down and say, "Whoa, over here, water, please, coffee." But in that experience, the service was so intense that you kind of wanted to avoid eye contact, because even if you just kind of looked around the room like this and your gaze happened to cross a waiter or a bus person, they would run over and say, "What do you need? You know, water? More Coca-Cola?" And so here we were having the best enchiladas ever with service. I felt like a king. And a part of me felt guilty. Who was I to have the best enchiladas of my life in this restaurant when there was poverty and suffering right down the road? I don't deserve this. And I felt guilty. And I thought about it some more, and then I realized, you know what? I don't deserve these enchiladas. Nobody deserves these enchiladas. These enchiladas are so good, so melt in your mouth, such a balance of richness and spice and flavor. No one deserves this. And then I realized this is what God's grace is. God's grace is receiving something so good that you don't deserve. You don't deserve it. You didn't earn it. But God is so good and loving, you get it anyway. Just because God is that good. Nothing you do can ever earn it. You're more than lucky. Lucky's not a good enough word. You're blessed. Blessed by God's grace. And if that plate of enchiladas sticks in my mind, you know, throughout the rest of my days, how much greater is God's love and salvation for us? People who didn't earn it or deserve it. And so there's only one question left. When you get something you don't deserve, when you get something that's that good, what do you do about it? Do you go sneak into the bathroom and try to crawl out the window, you know, dine and dash? You're going to get a bill. That's, you know, Jerry Seinfeld's big shtick in all of his different shows. It's like, you know, you eat like a king, you order things off the menu, and then you get the bill, and it's like, hello. But right now, you can think about that different ways. In our world, there are people who don't have enough. There are people who don't have enough food, who don't have shelter, people who are already at risk, and because of the pandemic, they were on the edge, and they're on the edge of getting pushed off the edge. What we have received is more than we deserve, and it's a blessing. And what we can do is we can be thankful for having received God's mercy and salvation given freely to all people, no matter who you are, no matter whether you're great, innocent, humble, wherever you come from, and you have the opportunity to share, to open your heart and to share to people. Our reading this morning from the book of Acts. Thank you, Ingrid Tom, for reading it. Those words in the book of Acts should be very powerful as you hear them. The believers gathered. They held all things in common. People sold property that they didn't need. Maybe they even sold property they didn't need. And they gave it and shared it with the community, and it said nobody went hungry. Nobody suffered. Nobody was doing this because they had to. It wasn't a law. It wasn't forced on them. It was voluntary. Voluntary sharing, distribution, so that no one would be hungry. Well, Grace Lutheran Church, we've discerned a call to continue to do that. Churches all over the world and other houses of worship are doing different things, and we are too. And one of the things we're doing to adapt is we are inviting you, whoever's watching this, whoever's a part of our church, to go to our website and let us know if you are hungry. Do you need food? And if you do, we want to make sure you get food. If you go to our website, www.graceupland.org, there's a link on the homepage where you can go to connect, fill out the fellowship form. And on that form, you can indicate if you need food, if you want to volunteer your time so that people can get food, or if you have an abundance and you want to give. And you can also give on the website and designate it to food assistance. And together, like the apostles who gathered, who were refreshed by receiving more than they deserved, we too will put our minds and hearts together and to share so that nobody that we know about, that we is physically possible, will be hungry. By God's grace, let us pray. Holy God, we thank you that you are our good shepherd. You love us and forgive us even when we fall short. Help us to share what we can so that nobody suffers. In your name we pray. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this weekly offering of Simply Grace. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast, and if you would like to help us in our effort to serve the community, please visit graceupland.org and click Give. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us again.